All right, so we're here talking to Jason Zander from the CLR.
Yep.
So tell us about yourself.
I'm the product unit manager for the Common Language Runtime. So basically, I own the group. I've been on this project since 97. I think that Brian Harry just blogged a whole bunch of stuff about the history of the project and how it kind of came to be. A few people prototyping it way back when. So I was one of those original four that was on there, so I've had the fortune of being able to work on it that long. Started off as a dev here, dev lead, worked on the metadata compiler, pieces like that, on the debugger and the profiler, was the development manager for version 1 and version 1.1, and became the PUM right about the time we kicked 1.1 out the door in 2.0. So been at Microsoft for 12 years.
Microsoft, basically. 12 years. So how did the concept of the CLR originate? So you're the original on the original team. The advent of the CLR?
Sure. We had a couple of different things we were going for originally. In fact, people may have remembered Mary Kirtland's PDC book way back in, like, I think it was PDC 97 or 98, something like that. At the time, what we were trying to do is figure out a good way to really get, you know, the metadata sizes down for the type libraries, get more interop with C++, something better than what we had with OLLI automation and things like that. We tried prototyping a few things in there. At the same time, you know, Visual Basic and some other teams on campus were trying to figure out, you know, what their runtime strategy looked like. You know, they've had VB run, X through, whatever along the way. Mike Tutonghi, who was a distinguished engineer at Microsoft, he's since left, had a vision for what became the CLR, a very, you know, kind of grand runtime system. He was looking at mobile code. He was looking at, you know, putting in JIT and ILE, experience in that kind of background. Our two groups kind of got together. We were originally under the umbrella of the COM Plus runtime. So I think a lot of people, when they hear, you know, COM Plus at the time, they knew what COM Plus itself was, you know, DTC and stuff like that. And we were the runtime half, and there was a services half, which actually worked out quite well because we were able to work quietly on this runtime system for a very long period of time, to the point where we didn't really announce anything until the PDC in the year 2000. And a lot of people were just kind of blown away because we came there with like 2.5 million lines of code, you know, multiple languages, including third-party vendors and cross-language inheritance and all the rest of that kind of stuff. In terms of the core overall mission, basically, the idea was to try and make, you know, developers' life, you know, easy. I think you've seen that if you were a VB programmer, but a lot of people were still using, you know, MFC, Win32. You know, very good productivity wins there. But if you've written, you know, managed code where I can, you know, dim an A and it takes a B, and, you know, the code just kind of flows very nicely. The tools are great. It's a great way to write code, and we wanted to bring that to the mainstream, and that's basically how we wound up with all the languages. And then after that, you know, originally it was like, let's just get the web server going, replace ASP, let's just get, you know, Visual Studio to go do that, get the new languages up and running. Since that release, of course, then we added SQL Server, and we've been looking at WinFX and the operating system, so it's kind of taken on a life of its own from that point.
Fantastic. So you mentioned making the lives of programmers easier. That a lot of Win32 developers haven't really taken to managed code.
Mm-hmm.
And managed code, the CLR at this point, is most successful on the server, in ASP.NET. So can you speak a bit to client future of the CLR?
Yep. So we have, of course, coverage for both in the current product. I would say that ASP.NET has been just, you know, grand slam, you know, worked fantastic. People really love the perf. It's great functionality. So I agree. We've done very well there. From the client standpoint, you know, I think we've got some good, rich functionality in WinForms. I think that some of the challenges that people have run into there, and I should point out that there are some big, you know, rich client apps that are deploying right now as well. There are various digital image editing, you know, software that you might get with a printer and other pieces like that that do quite well. Some of the challenges we've run into are around, at least from my team's perspective, startup perf and performance and things like that. It's a big area that we're working on because, you know, there's a lot of rich functionality there. We need to make that work. I think deployment is also trickier, right? When I talk to people, oftentimes it's, look, I can go click in an URL and pull up a website and start using that application versus trying to configure my, you know, 10,000 desktops at a big, you know, corporation. How do I get that working? And so one of the things that we're introducing in WIDB is called Click Once, which gives me the ability to very easily deploy an application like that out across a big site like Microsoft. In fact, we're using some of these ClickOnce elements in internal applications that we use ourselves. For example, like our review model tool and a few other line of business apps that we use internally at Microsoft. So I think that makes your life a lot easier because it's not as hard to go manage those pieces and get that stuff deployed. And beyond that, it's mostly getting the controls up to speed and making it really, usually people are kind of chasing the office look and trying to get that look and feel in there. So I think that team has done a good job there as well in Woodby.
So talking about load time, what can be done to speed it up? I mean, obviously, it's a gigantic memory footprint.
Yep.
When you load the...
It's like 2 megabyte, footprint for the default application. And then you start doing stuff.
So what are some of your strategies for making it happen faster?
Yeah. Yeah, so there's a few things related to that. We have a performance team, and when you look at the contributions, you have to look at where the data is coming at. It's a combination of the code that's getting loaded and jitted, dynamic data that's getting allocated on the GC heap, and then there's locality of that data. So one of the key things that we did out of E1, and we continue to make better on the CLR, is the NGen compiler, which essentially allows me to take my IL and just-in-time compile it, but persist the whole program as a unit. Right, save it out to disk, and now I can just load that. So I don't pay the JIT overhead every time I launch my application. In addition to that, as you start running the CLR in multiple processes in the same machine, then those pages get shared between those processes. So the time to get those loaded in, they're already probably resident someplace on the machine. The time is much faster. So that's an example of getting the startup time going. Beyond that, the next thing we look at with applications is, what is the application doing? The one thing that is kind of like the counter side to how easy the framework is to use, is in one line of code, I can invoke an XML serializer class that can basically use code DOM, launch the C# compiler, compile up a DLL, load it into memory, and then go off and run it, and that's just to serialize an object graph. And it's like, wow, okay, that's a heck of a lot of cycles to be running, just to go back and forth. So we found even some of our internal applications. We published a report on an internal app called HeadTracks that once you double-click the thing, would do this 16 times at startup. So that's an example where, the XML serializer functionality is very rich and it works very well, but you ought not be calling the C# compiler 16 times just to get the splash screen to come up, right? Mm-hmm. So there are cases where I think we haven't done a good enough job explaining to developers how to use the framework correctly to get really good performance on things like that.
It's a good point. I mean, that's one of the gotchas with having a framework that does so much work for you.
Yes.
In the background, it's not easy for you to fully understand exactly what's happening.
Yep. We kind of describe it as a pay-for-play system, right? Mm-hmm. And the idea is there's lots of rich functionality, right? If I look at regex and dynamic assembly generation and coding on the fly, I can emit IL and do all sorts of really neat stuff. Those are very cool and very powerful, but you also have to understand what you're paying in order to pull those in, because there's code backing that. It's going to allocate additional DLLs. It's going to allocate additional loaded module lists inside of the operating system itself. And there's overhead. So again, no matter what you're using, whether it's managed or unmanaged, you really need to be describing your scenario, what you need to minimally get that done, and then you need to go profile and verify you're not pulling in any more than you need. And if you need all of those things to get your job done, by all means, go ahead and use them. You should do that. But don't pull stuff in unnecessarily. Cache where required. We actually have like 500 pages worth of performance prescriptive guidance up on MSDN. Which would be fantastic for people to go read and spend some more time working on. So again, our job is a combination of we need to educate people, let them know how to do it efficiently. We need to go fix our own implementation where it might be fat, and doesn't need to be. And that's where we're spending a lot of our time on. And then beyond that, we just deal with, individual teams trying to help them out.
So someone asked you, what's the magic of the CLR?
Uh-huh.
What would you say?
Hmm.
I'm going to ask you, what's the magic of CLR?
Yeah. I kind of like to describe our team as a cross between compiler geeks and kernel geeks. And that's kind of the way the if you look at the magic that's there, our team is made up of people that have worked on, Windows 90X kernel and NT kernel, as well as people who have been writing compilers for 15, 20 years. So it's the low-level grunge that, the grungy kind of bit-twiddling, fiddling kind of code that if we've done our job right, the magic is you never have to see it. right? I mean, the way you actually see the CLR is, you know, pick your programming language. It's VB.NET, C#, you know, managed C++, you know, COBOL, Eiffel, whatever, it doesn't really matter. So if I look at, you know, really cool things that we've done along those lines, you know, productivity-wise, it's things like, you know, automatic memory collection, I mean, getting rid of dangling pointers, you know, out of array memory accesses and stuff like that. Basically, those are all very productive. You know, basically, we try and do the rocket science so you don't have to, right? That's kind of the magic, if I could express it. Then we get out of the way. And if you have to know what we're doing, we probably haven't done our job incredibly well. We'd rather you be looking at the framework and the tool that you're using and feeling very happy about that.